Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. If you notice in the Bible, before anything else, there are blessings. You read the first chapters of Genesis. God created and he saw that it was good. Before original sin, God said it was good. You read the Ten Commandments. God says, I am the Lord your God. What did he do? He brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He's done this. Therefore, have no other gods. And today, Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, his main teaching in Matthew's Gospel, with, blessed are you, blessed are you. So my question for you today is, do you feel blessed? Do you feel blessed today? Do you feel blessed by God today? I mean, I know I do. I mean, I've just spent 4 weeks with my sons and daughter-in-law and my grandson, Rowan Paul Schenker, and my wife, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time together. I felt so blessed. And when you see a baby look at you and smile and coo and tinkle on you and everything, it's wonderful. You really feel the miracle of life. And then they got home safe back to Singapore, which is a long flight. And then I heard about, you know, the wonderful soloist here and you guys worshiping. I missed you all. I'm thankful for Dave Brower and you all. I feel blessed. I hope you feel blessed too, because Jesus said, you're blessed. In this sermon, it begins with blessing. Now let's review what's happening in Matthew's gospel so far. Remember, it starts out with all the generations of Jesus, and then Jesus' birth, and then Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, and God says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Immediately after that, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, where he wrestles with the devil, who tries to tell him he's not the Son of God, but he keeps his identity and his mission. Next, we hear Jesus praying and calls his 12 disciples to him. Next, after he prayed, he began his public ministry, and his key teaching was the kingdom of God is at hand. God's presence, God's reign, to live as if God is president, God is king, God is Caesar, God is Pharaoh. God is at hand. Repent, turn around, face the good news, believe the good news. He made the kingdom of God real for people by telling them parables of love. If you want to understand what Jesus' heart was like, read the parables. They teach you what his heart was like. He healed people of their diseases, of their separation. He invited all people, prostitutes, tax collectors, rich people, poor people, all were welcome. And he taught them about the kingdom of God, the way things should be in God's reign. When we pray every week, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus was that. He showed that. He is that. And he began to draw the crowds. They said, wow, there's something about this guy. Women, children, the ones that were rejected as second-class citizens in that society came. Lepers, people that were crippled, they came to him, they flocked to him. And so now he has his disciples, he's got the people's attention, and hopefully he's got your attention, and he went up to the mountain to teach us more. And he knows he sat down, he didn't stand up there, he sat down because he was down at the people's eye level. He loved them. And the words we hear from Jesus today are meant for those who trust Jesus enough that we want to follow him. We want to be his students. We think he's the smartest guy in the room. And we want to follow his way, even though it might be different than the world's way. The last or first. Where you wash people's feet. Where you love your enemies. It's very different. But it's the way of the kingdom of God. He looked at the crowds and he teaches them. Now let's be careful here. Okay, let's be careful about his teaching. Jesus is not teaching that you have to be poor, that you have to be grieving, that you have to be hungry to be blessed. No, that's not the point at all. Today, Jesus is teaching about a celebration. It's like his parable when he told the guy went out and he threw the seeds all over the place. Well, God's blessings are all over the place. You know, Jesus said that the sun rises and sets, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's no distinction for God's blessing. Abba is what's the word you like, Joan? Crazy, generously loving, or wastefully? What? To love wastefully. He just love wastefully. No matter if you are poor or meek or one who mourns or whoever you are, whatever your situation, you are blessed by God. You are a blessing right now. That's who Jesus God is. The Abba, the Father. That's how loving God is for all people. The kingdom is yours right now. And when you know that, you know you're blessed. And for those who know this, who have, Jesus says, who have eyes to see and ears to hear, then it's a wonderful world. And you're curious about the world, and you're growing, and you're loving, and you're learning. Every day, there's a new miracle in front of you. There's burning bushes all the time. It just Moses happened to notice it. Well, we when we share our good news sightings, we notice it. We notice it. And the kingdom is with us, and in us, we are blessed. Now, there's a wonderful preacher and teacher who was an Episcopalian priest that Joan and I met at Chautauqua. And her name is Barbara Brown Taylor. At the time we met her, she was at a big church in Atlanta, Georgia. And she's talking about when she took her youth group on a mission trip to Appalachia. From rich Atlanta, Georgia to Appalachia. And she wrote, "The members of my youth group thought all teenagers should receive cars on their 16th birthday. And they went on cruises to the Bahamas for their senior class parties. They had it all. The only thing they were missing was an experience of poverty. So we drove to Appalachia to get them one. Of course, what happened is that the kids had their eyes opened to tar paper shacks, barefoot children, strange food, and people whose grammar would make their English teachers cringe. During the week, the Atlanta teenagers befriended one of the Appalachian teenagers named Dwayne, and they included Dwayne in their activities. On the last day, at the closing worship, the last worship they had together, with tears running down their eyes, these children prayed heartfelt intercessions for the poor people of Appalachia. This absolutely infuriated Dwayne, their friend. His response to them, their condescending words, 'You all called me poor. I never thought of myself that way until you said it. I have all these woods to run in. I have a grandmama and a granddaddy who love me to pieces. I got a whole new shed full of rabbits. I can play with them anytime, anywhere. Does that sound poor to you? It doesn't sound poor to me. You all should save your prayers for someone who needs them.'" Dwayne got it. He got what Jesus was saying. He knew he was blessed. We are blessed. But sometimes in our society, we don't feel it. We don't feel it. You know, every single day, we are surrounded with people who are blessing killers, aren't we? "Oh, it's cold outside. Oh, it's cloudy. Oh, it's rainy and snowy." Imagine that in Pennsylvania, it's rainy and snowy in January. Wow, who would have thought? Think about where we live. We are so blessed. We're in the shadow of the major hospitals and research centers of the whole world in Pittsburgh. We are blessed to live close to some of the finest universities in the whole country. A place where great things happen. People are healed. People are taught. I met people from New York and Texas, Boston, different places. And they come to Pittsburgh and said, you know, this is really a friendly city. But sometimes, with all the negativity, it impacts our faith in God. And we start thinking of God not as this generous, loving God, but this judgment. If you do something wrong, he's going to punish you. If you don't do this, you're going to go to hell and all this stuff. You know, and if something bad happens to you, you say, well, God's punishing you. No, 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 no. That's not the Abba Jesus prayed to and who he embodied. Those events can dim our eyes to seeing the blessings all around us. You know, I was reading an article in Psychology Today, and they said the average American will tell one other person a good news story. But on the average, they'll tell 10 to 12 people negative news. Oh, did you hear about this? Hear about this, according to Psychology Today. You know, how often Lutherans will share the good news of Jesus Christ with another person? How often? Once every 24 years. Once every 24 years. The good news of Jesus Christ. Just think, if all you were so excited about Jesus Christ and the blessings you have, and you shared it with your friends and loved ones and neighbors, every one of you brought somebody else to church with you next Sunday to hear the good news here. Wow, what could happen? So, how do we live in God's blessings in a world that's tempting us to be blessing deniers? Well, the Bible tells us, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am present. The relationship. When Jesus sent out people to witness, he sent them out two by two. There's relationship, people together to know God's blessings. We get with other people. God's blessings were not meant for you alone, but blessings are meant for you and to be shared with other people. Our faith is not meant to be alone. You know, Jesus said, don't have your light under a bushel basket. Let your light shine so all people will see the good news and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is the Son of God, but even Jesus, he had 12 close friends, and among them he had three really close friends, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. If you are not in a Bible study right now, Carol's going through Genesis. We're going to find out about Joseph and his many his coat and being in a pit. You know, there's interest. It's an interest. He's down here. What, 9 o'clock? Right, 9 o'clock it starts. You can go to that. Or during Lent, I'm going to be teaching a Bible study. Put yourself in the environment where other people believe and they can grow your faith, and you can help them grow their faith. I know when Jonah and I first came here, I was a you had a different pastor at that time, and I was here as a pastor to preach when he was away. Right away, you walk into St. Paul's. I felt warm. It was a loving, loving place. Not all churches have that kind of thing, but we're blessed here. We're blessed here to know the warmth of St. Paul's and being together. Worship God on, like you're doing now. Worship God on Sundays. That helps you know the blessings of God. Lives that are being transformed here at St. Paul's. Disciples are growing in confidence in the Lord at St. Paul's. Deepening the faith. Celebrating the blessings of God. And as things get safer, we're going to start having our luncheons on the first Sunday of the month. We have an annual meeting coming up here to celebrate our blessings together. Blessings abound at St. Paul's. Christ is here blessing you right now. Place yourself and the people are nearest and dearest to you in this environment where God can use you to build you up, to build up the other person, to build up the faith, to build up the church, to build relationships that have a potential that God can use in extraordinary ways for your soul to grow, to love other people, to love all people, and let the light shine here from St. Paul's. Blessings abound at St. Paul's. Blessed are you, and doubly blessed are you when you know it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.